Many people who live in the city often dream of living somewhere else, maybe life in the country or in a small town. Most of us don't actually follow that dream. But today we'll talk with someone who did. Larry Mueller here again. Thanks for joining us. Mary Doherty is in the studio with me all the way from Bayfield, Wisconsin. She's written a book about her adopted town. It's called Life in a Northern Town, Cooking, Eating, and Other Adventures Along Lake Superior. I really enjoyed reading it. She includes recipes that use local ingredients in both traditional and non-traditional ways. Maybe you live along Lake Superior. Maybe you wish you did. What are some of your favorite local places, local ingredients from there? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. And Mary Doherty, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Wonderful. Thanks, Larry. I'm looking forward to it.
I really like this the combination of things that you've got here. Talk about that, your reflections and the recipes.
Well, when I started, I didn't have a book in mind when I started this whole adventure. I just had a blog, and I was kind of telling stories about my life in Bayfield and the food we eat and kind of knitting it together. And as I went through the process of writing the book and learning a little bit more about community and food, I've realized that those two things are connected. Mm-hmm. The story of our food is definitely the story of who we are and who lives in our community and where we come from.
Well, you've done a really nice job of it. I have some friends, Lisa and Randy, who honeymooned in the Bayfield area, mm-hmm. and their first child, they named Madeline.
There's a lot of that.
After Madeline Island, yeah. Of course. And unfortunately, Randy died at a very young age of prostate cancer. And I want to present a copy of your book to Lisa.
Yeah,
because I think it's going to bring back some really fond memories, plus the great food.
Yeah. Well, I used to own a restaurant, and that's one thing I noticed, that Bayfield gets to be my home. But when people would come into the restaurant, they would say, well, we always eat here on Friday night for fish fry, and then we go to this beach, and we go to this park, and we go to this place to get. And I realized how traditions get built in kind of an organic way. And once you have that framework built, you go back to it because it brings back memories of food and fun and people. And
yeah, it's wonderful. Tell us how you found Bayfield. It's a nice story you have in your book.
We had a small sailboat in the Duluth Harbor. We had three little kids at the time, and my husband said he wanted to sail over to the Apostle Islands, and I thought, I didn't even know they existed, to be perfectly honest with you. And I was like, okay, but I get seasick. So we left early in the morning, and I've slept the whole way because Dramamine makes you really tired. And I woke up on Sand Island. We were anchored, and I said in the book, and I say this all the time, I felt like Alice in Wonderland, where you went down the rabbit hole, because the Duluth Harbor is still Lake Superior, but the water is murky and such. And
yeah.
20 feet down, it's crystal clear. And I thought, wow. And as we sailed into Bayfield that day, I fell more and more in love with that place.
Yeah, and you wound up eventually moving there.
Yeah, we moved there in 2007. For many years, I lived on our sailboat in the summer with the kids, and my husband went back and forth to Minneapolis, and we added two more kids and two more dogs, and eventually it got kind of hard to live on a boat with all those children and dogs, so then we bought our home in 2007.
Yeah, and of course, you've been very active. I think you were voted Wisconsin's 2016 Progressive Leader of the Year, so that's pretty cool.
That's something else, isn't it? Yeah, well, I think if you just say what you know to be true, only what I know to be true, and if it resonates, then it resonates with people.
You know, and your book is beautiful, by the way. Wisconsin Historical Society Press is the publisher, and they always do a wonderful job. But one of the things I noted about the title, the cover, I should say, is that you, your title is Life, and that's bold and big, in mm-hmm. a northern town. And then what else is bolded is cooking. It's Life in a Northern Town, Cooking, Eating, and Other Adventures Along Lake Superior. Was that your idea to bold that?
No, Kate Thompson was my editor. And let me tell you something about writing a book, because I knew nothing about it. Editors are God's gift to authors.
Yes,
and she was my partner through the whole thing. And I trusted her so much. And she, when she showed me the concept for the cover, I said, wow, that's what I get to have my name on. I was so excited. I just couldn't believe it. So,
oh man. So, and your book kind of, I like the way your book has follows the seasons, mm-hmm. Ends in winter, but starts in spring.
Yep.
And then you have stories that go, that kind of in a way go along with some of the recipes that you have.
Right, I know, and that's one thing, the whole kind of in a way is something that we, because I think a lot about food and food policy and home and community, and I think that we've kind of moved food into a pedestal. We've mm-hmm. moved it out of its place, and it doesn't need to be a direct line to, I went to Spring Camp Falls and then I made, you know, who knows, Sloppy Joes, right? That's not in the book, but it's that life happens and the food is mixed in with that. It's knit into it. And so the stories are just, it's a little picture into my life and that time of my life when I was writing the book.
I noticed that you have something up in your kitchen at home that says, love people, cook them tasty food.
Yeah, I got that from my friend.
I got that from a friend. I got a gift from a friend, a towel, and I have it up in my kitchen, and it says, why limit happy to an hour?
Exactly. It's true, though, isn't it? I mean, it's just, we, I don't know when we started this process, but our kitchen refrigerator is covered in bumper stickers. And they have great bumper stickers at that bookstore down here called Room of One's Own.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of good bumper stickers there to put on the fridge.
Dave in Augusta has something for us. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, you two. I just want to share my little story here. We had a cabin in Winter, Wisconsin, still have it, and we lived outside of Madison in some prairie, and we're going up to the cabin, and we discovered this little farm that was for sale, just put up for sale, and we both had secure jobs in Madison, and we bought the farm on a Monday. We bought it on a Friday, owned it on a Monday, and we commuted back and forth between the farm and our jobs in Madison for a year and a half. We both did. Drove separately because we had both different starting times. We finally sold the house in some prairie, but we have discovered the joy of living in the country, which we, 20 years earlier, we never thought we never would, but we have so loved our decision, and we have discovered so many recipes up here. We have discovered local food vendors, and it's just been a joy. And I'm looking forward to picking up your book.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. And you know, this is your experience. Kind of has to resonate with Dave's experience.
I think so. I think that what it comes down to is, we live in a world that thinks we value calculated risks and doing a lot of research and making sure you're making a good choice. And for us, there was nothing that made much sense about moving five kids, three dogs into a town of 487 people in 2007. But it felt like home. And when I always say that I like to live my life following the breadcrumb trail, I don't really know where it's leading me. It led me into your booth. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years thought I'd be sitting across from Larry Mueller. So it doesn't, it's good. It's good to do that.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, I was thinking about the book. I was reading through the book. I loved all these local stories, and that kind of goes along with what Dave said as well. The local people, the local recipes, the local things. And I know in your kind of cool little story about Spring Camp Falls and yeah. Falls in that area, there are so many wonderful falls, and actually they play a role in a couple of places in your book.
Yeah, I have a son who, he and I both do photography, and all my kids do, but William and I really spend a lot of time going on photo safaris. And I said in the essay, it's true, there was always this component of not knowing where we're going, some sort of dangerous thing we were going to do. And when Spring Camp Falls was tucked away, it's in Iron County. And our little part of Wisconsin, I'm frequently, when I tell people I'm from northern Wisconsin, they say, oh, by Wausau? I'm like, there's a whole lot of state north of Wausau, folks. And it's pretty cool.
It is indeed. And you had a little trouble finding it, but you found it.
We found it.
And then to go along with that, there are some, in that part of the book, there are some recipes that I liked a lot as I looked at them. Now, I'm admitting here that I haven't prepared a single one of them, but they look so darn good. That wild rice blueberry buttermilk pancake, I thought, oh, man, that sound good. Now, you've made that.
Yeah. It's actually a recipe from my friend Julie Buckles. They have a sugar bush, which is... we have a bunch of sugar bushes in northern Wisconsin where you tap the trees in the spring and you boil the sap down to make syrup. And we were out at her sugar bush one day and she made those pancakes out. There's snow everywhere, right? We're all in our winter jackets and she sets up a propane griddle and starts flipping pancakes outside in March. And there's so many experiences like that I can't believe that I get to knit those into our story.
Well, yeah, and I love blueberry pancakes anyway, but I tell you what, adding some wild rice in there and some other things. And then, of course, I probably wouldn't be having it at the same time. You mentioned sugar bush, and I thought that sugar bush margarita, which I kind of like margaritas.
That's funny, because my husband said, because I wanted to make you something, and Ted's like, bring him a margarita. I'm like, I'm not going to bring Larry Miller a bunch of tequila. I would have known that. It's hard to get blood orange juice right now, but you should make that. It's really, really good.
I fully intend to try that out and impress my friends with some sugarbush margaritas for sure. One other one, in that time period, you talk about the Olympic Sport Village.
Yeah.
And that's something I honestly didn't really know about. What?
A friend of mine, a bunch of guys from and men and women from Ashland, which is a town near Bayfield, own this compound that is where they did training back in the 60s, I think, 60s and 70s. And I was out there for a meeting, and I was walking around thinking, I was just taking so many photos because it is classic mid-60s, early 70s Wisconsin. And I asked about the history, and she told me it was Olympic Sport Village. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, for shooting.
And cross-country skiing. Like, you ski and shoot things. I mean, it actually fits northern Wisconsin pretty well.
Mary Doherty, our guest today, as we talk with her about her new book. It's called Life in a Northern Town: Cooking, Eating, and Other Adventures Along Lake Superior. We'll take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we will be back with our guests, so you stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Miller here, and we're celebrating life in a northern town with our guest today. She is Mary Doherty. Mary has lots of things going for her. She's a food blogger, she's an author, a former restaurateur, and I tell you what, her new book is called Life in a Northern Town: Cooking, Eating, and Other Adventures Along Lake Superior. Maybe you live in that area, or maybe you wish you did. Maybe you are interested in local foods like Mary is. I hope you'll join in our conversation. Maybe you've got a recipe you want to talk about that relates to one of those areas. Join in. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page, and we would certainly love to hear from you. Mary's book follows the season, starts in spring and goes through winter. And in each season, she spices her cookbook up, so to speak, with many stories about life in the Bayfield area and in the northern Wisconsin area along Lake Superior. She also is quite a gifted photographer, and the photos in the book are outstanding, both of the communities themselves, but also of the food. And it's, for me, I always love to have some photos along with the recipes, and she's done quite a nice job with that as well. Wisconsin Historical Society Press is the publisher, so easy to get copies of the book. Again, join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. You know, fall starts tomorrow.
Doesn't feel like it down here.
It doesn't feel like it.
No.
Well, so let's talk about autumn in Bayfield.
Where it's cool.
What do you love about it?
I love that the flies are gone. I love that it's beautiful. I take my dogs for a walk on the beach every morning, and the beach, it's, you know, there's a huge hill that I look at when I walk back to the car, and it's so, I'm starting to see a little bit of gold, and you just to watch this progression every day of the change is, I mean, it's remarkable. It's really beautiful up there.
It really is. What do you love about the, well, let's see, let me change the question a little bit. What are some of your favorite fall ingredients?
Well, apples. I mean, I made my first apple pie last week because it is cooler in Bayfield. You can turn your oven on without worrying. And, not worrying, but it's hot. And then up there, our growing season's a little bit, we're a little delayed.
Yeah.
And so my tomatoes, I'm praying that they actually turn red. So September is when I get all the tomatoes out of my garden, the fresh herbs and stuff, because then, you know, come October, we get some colder nights and those poor little plants don't like that.
Yeah. Well, you've got some recipes there. They're, a fond memory from my youth was eating Dorothy Rodefeld's tomato jam that she made at home. And I would slather that on some toast with, I usually put butter on too.
Butter and then toast. Yeah, then the jam.
And then the, right. And then the jam, and it was wonderful. And so you have a recipe in your book for tomato jam, and you've made that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have. I like it because I like BLTs with good bacon, and tomatoes in January are kind of sad.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they taste like a tomato, but once you have a tomato from the garden, it's kind of hard to replicate that. So the tomato jam is a really good thing to smear on your bread and throw some bacon and lettuce and Hellman's mayonnaise only.
And then you have Hellman's.
Yeah, Hellman's. I'm a big fan of real mayonnaise.
So you put, wait a minute, you put, you got toast.
Toast and then bacon jam on one side and then I have bacon jam in the book too. No, tomato jam, then bacon, then the lettuce, and then mayonnaise. You don't want to put the mayonnaise and the tomato jam on the same side, because then it gets really, like, when you bite into it, everything just goes out. You want to let the bread absorb a little bit of each.
Well,
there's
I've learned some technique here,
Larry.
I was looking at the recipe for the tomato jam, and I thought, you know, I can do this.
It's easy.
I've got a lot of tomatoes. I've gone through bushel baskets of tomatoes from my own garden.
Wow.
So and many, many BLTs have. In fact, I had one last night. As a matter of fact,
good.
But I thought I gotta try the tomato jam recipe, and the other one you mentioned apples.
Yeah,
and you have a caramelized apple bread pudding with rum caramel sauce.
It's so good. My kids love it. I mean, it's not exactly, I wouldn't say it's something to eat before you're getting ready to go do the Ironman. Because there's a lot of heaviness to that, but it's amazing. The rum caramel sauce is so good. And again, it's pretty easy. I mean, who doesn't have some stale bread lying around? Mm-hmm. And you just throw some cream and...
You're using some of those local apples up there? What are the apples that you use in that? I forgot.
I use a crisp tart apple.
Okay.
So I can't think of any of them. There's so...
But you want a crisp, tart apple.
Yeah, you don't want a sauce apple. You want an apple that's tart because it's a very sweet sweet dessert. And you want an apple that holds its own against all that cream and bread. So it's not going to melt when you cook it.
And you write about, in that section, you write about going to the Northern Garden of Life. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
That was... So we have a lot of different farmers. We have many CSAs up there. We have a co-op. We have large, you know, Northern Garden of Life is a little bit of a larger farm. And I don't remember, I think my son was friends with the woman who runs it or something. Somehow I discovered it's way down this road. It's not very well marked. And I just loved the story of this older gentleman deciding that he wanted to make food accessible to everyone. You know, local food is... there's a lot of stuff that goes on to this discussion about local food. And accessibility is definitely an issue. And so he started this garden to supply the local food bank. And I just think it's a great story, talking about getting food into the bellies of people that need it.
Yeah, and it's large, 5 acres, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah. And I haven't been out there this year, to be honest with you, because this book business, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this. But I follow them on Facebook, so I know they're still growing things.
It was really a lot of fun to read about those wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about great folks. And by the way, you mentioned all the stuff associated with the book. You have some events and so forth. Before we can get too far, and before I forget...
Yep, I will be at the Willie Street Co-op this coming Thursday, September 28th at 6. And then I'll be at Books and Company, which is in Oconomowoc, on October 18th at 7.
Okay.
And if you go on my website, which is thecookerymaven.com, I have an events page that has I keep it updated with where I'm going to be.
Yeah. What do you cover in that blog of yours aside from that? The Cookery Maven.
I know. I love the word cookery. I've always thought the word cookery was just a beautiful word. There's something, the way it looks to me, it's very, I don't know, I think it's a beautiful word. And who knows, maven, I don't know.
I like maven. I like the word maven, to be perfectly honest.
Well, it kind of fits because I'm a little bossy. And I like to tell people what to do. And I think it's a nicer way. If I couldn't say like the cookery bossy woman, maven sounds better. But I just kind of like the book. It's just how my day and how my weeks go. Like, you know, I'm going to, I think I've got a blog post coming up about, I mean, we're going to start cooking classes in my kitchen. And so I have a book. So we're going to start that. I've done cooking classes before. And I did one about a month ago. And I forgot how fun it is to have people in your space talking about food. About 10 women came over. And I want to get back into that. And so I call myself dynamic. Some people might call me, like, you know, a little scattered. But so the blog is just representative of what goes on in my life.
Oh, man. And it sounds like a lot of fun life, though. I mean, in a lot of ways.
It's good. I still drive up my driveway to my house, and I still think, I can't believe I get to live here.
And you owned, you've got some experience behind these recipes because you owned or were co-owned restaurant that a lot of people are going to know the name of in Bayfield.
Yeah, it was called Good Time Restaurant, and we owned it from 2000, and I think we bought the building in 07 or 08, and we opened in early 09, and I got out of it in 2012. It was, owning a restaurant was a little challenging with 5 young kids, and it didn't quite fit. But cooking was always been, and that's kind of why I started the blog, is I was transitioning out of the restaurant and trying to reacquaint myself and re-tether myself to my own kitchen and my family. Because restaurant businesses, you're gone a lot, working really a lot of long hours.
Yeah, a lot of long hours, but developing a lot of great experiences that, obviously, that are presented in this book.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
I like the fact, and maybe talk about this, you have some, you're using ingredients, many of the ingredients are local, you know, to that particular area, but we can get them here. We can get them anywhere in the state. But you tend to include a sort of a twist on the recipes from the traditional, oftentimes. And so maybe Thai cooking comes in or something like that. Talk about that.
Well, because I think I am a fervent believer in storytelling, and I think that food and meals is just another way to tell using a different medium to tell your story. And so when we moved to Bayfield, we ate a lot of ethnic food in Minneapolis. We, you know, the Thai restaurant, our Greek restaurant. And so I had to kind of translate that, the food that we knew from our original home, and translate into our adopted home. And I have a friend that she travels around the world looking at hospitals for certification. And she said, it's interesting, you can go anywhere in the world in a Western type hospital, they all look the same. And she goes in, and wherever she is, the first thing people do is they invite her for dinner because they want to show her who they are. And we use food as a way of showing people and telling people who we are.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And speaking of that, and I want to actually, let's take a call. If you'd like to join in, we have open lines for you at 1-800 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So you want to do that? Well, you can do it right now. I wanted to bring something up from the book when you mentioned getting together, food and so forth. There was a great, you have a great story in your book about a curry party, and it's Ulf, is that the, how to pronounce, how to pronounce his name?
Yeah, that's another, I mean, you would, on its face, you would look at northern Wisconsin and think, you know, a lot of gray food, you know, and it's not an Ulf. I don't remember how we got invited to the curry party, but again, I love Indian curry, and I was looking for some good powder, and someone gave me a little mason jar. I'm like, where'd you get this? And they said, Ulf and Pat have a curry party every year on, in January, and we grind all the spices, and we mix, you know, they mix it all up, and then we all take a couple mason jars home. It's, isn't that, I mean, I remember when my son was a freshman down here, he was coming home for Thanksgiving, and he said, I'm like, what do you want to make, what can I make you for dinner? And he said he wanted some of Ulf's curry. And I didn't have any left, and so, because it was in November. And so I called Pat, and I'm like, I need some curry. And so she said, I'll have some ready for you. So I dropped off a bottle of wine and picked up my curry and went to get the kids at school and got cooking. I mean, that's just, those are the things that I think make my community special, but I know that that those things happen in everyone's community. There's these points of connection that happen everywhere. It's not unique to where I live.
But here's a Norwegian guy. He's a Norwegian, right?
Yeah.
And he's living in northern Wisconsin. He's putting together these wonderful curries.
Exactly. I know. I mean, it's just, there's no way to quantify it, but that's what, I mean, our culture is dynamic and it moves, and people bring what they know to where they live, and they add, it's kind of, again, like a story.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Lynn in Eau Claire has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Larry, and a big hello to your guest. I'm a shamefaced foodie, and I mark other. Now, I did the DNA thing, so I'm other. And one of the best turkeys I had, I make my own spice blends. I can't afford to travel, so I'll research, you know, the area, and I'll make my own spice blends to reflect the area. So I made a Warsaw blend where East does meet West as far as the spice trade went. And so I made a Polish Thanksgiving turkey using these spice blends under the skin. But it is tradition to sit around the table and share. And I, too, make tomato preserves every year out of duty. My great-grandmother made them. I make them, and I still will put a slice of citrus often on the top of the jar, and that's a treat for the grandkids now, as it was for my mother when she opened a jar made by her grandmother.
Oh.
So thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Lynn, thank you so much for calling. This whole business of family tradition, she said it so well, didn't she?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that I read somewhere, and I can't remember where I read it, but they said, the article was about how food is the last thing that someone loses when they assimilate or when they move to a new community, a new place. Mm. It's the one thing we hold on to, and sometimes you never lose it. And so it tells you how incredibly we hold it close to us.
Yeah. Thank you again. Pat in Bayfield, it's your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call.
So, I live in Bayfield, and I have a lot of access to the fresh fish, and I baked it, stewed it, grilled it. My favorite way to do the fresh whitefish, which I like to get in Bayfield at Peterson's in Red Cliff, if I can, is to skin both sides of the whitefish, and then roll it in a flour. Salt and pepper the flour, dredge it in the whipped egg, and then roll it in panko breadcrumbs. Fry it in olive oil on a cast iron pan, and then when you serve it, it crisps up very quickly. You'll serve it with chopped scallions, real finely chopped scallions on top, and if you have a bite of the scallion with every piece of fish, it just explodes with flavor in your mouth. It's just wonderful.
Oh, that is...
You should come to my house, Pat. You live in Bayfield.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's
we can make dinner. That sounds fun.
That actually sounds like fun. And, you know, you have you had to have a whitefish recipe in your book. And you have something called Campfire Dinner on the Beach. And you have you do a whitefish in foil.
Foil, yeah. And that's another great way to do it. Just... I mean, again, after I read through the book, I realized that I have a thing for butter, because butter's in about every single recipe. But just butter, white wine, fresh herbs. Another good thing to do with whitefish when you're just pan frying is add a little cornstarch to your flour mixture, because the cornstarch causes it to expand a little bit, kind of not full tempura, but it adds a little bit more...
Puff.
To your flour. And it wouldn't work with Pat's recipe because the panko is on top. But if you're just going to dredge it in flour and salt and pepper, throw some cornstarch in there and you'll get a little bit puffier.
Nice idea. Pat, something else for you to try.
Yeah, I have a dessert idea too that I love.
All right, what's that?
Well, I get fresh blueberries. My neighbor across the street has got a blueberry farm, so I've got access to them and they're just wonderful. And I'll take about 4 cups of fresh blueberries. And then dump in a whole bottle of ruby port and then reduce it. And then dredge, you know, once it's reduced, pour that over like a pound cake with a little whipped cream. And it is just the most delightful dessert you've ever had.
That is a great idea. And I was just digging through my liquor cabinet and found some ruby port. I was like, I don't know what I bought that for.
Yeah.
I think I'll have to try that.
That sounds great. What's the name of the person who's got the blueberries?
His name is Mike Burke. It's right across from Erickson.
Oh.
I drive right by your house all the time.
There you go.
You go to the guy that fixes our car.
Oh, Pat, thank you so much. I really appreciate your call. And... yeah, blueberries. That's one place you can get a lot of blueberries in that part of the state for sure.
No kidding.
You know, I looked through your winter section as well, and there were a couple of things that struck me. One was Al Capone's roast.
Yeah, that is good.
That really looks good.
I've got that recipe. I was hosting a luncheon for some people that we have a writing event up in Bayfield area called Writer's Read. And I made them a soup. And I was sitting next to this woman from Duluth. And I like always, our conversations turn to food. And when she gave me that recipe, I was like, stop traffic. What is that? And it's really, really good.
So it's sort of a rolled thing, isn't it?
Yeah. The important thing to remember with that Al Capone roast is you have to butterfly the flank steak. So don't try to, pounding it out is a big pain in the neck and it just makes a huge mess. So just butterfly the flank steak, open it up like a book and put mozzarella and, you know, garlic, onions, herbs, olives, wrap that bad boy up, tie it up and cook it. It's really, really good.
Oh, and it looks wonderful too. You did a very nice job with the photography. You know, the other thing that I have to admit to liking a lot is mac and cheese, and you've got a ganache mac and cheese.
That one, I have discovered I love making gnocchi. It is my favorite. There's something about that dough that just, it's beautiful and pillowy. And before I learned how to make gnocchi, there's a guy up in Hurley who makes gnocchi called Scotty Picotti. And so I was making my kids this gnocchi mac and cheese again.
Yeah, which I pronounce ganache or something.
It's fine. I know. We used to have a Nichoise salad on our menu at Good Time, and people called it Nicosi. So what can you do? It doesn't matter. I mean, I know what you're saying.
I know you knew, but I wondered if any of our listeners knew what the heck I was talking about, because sometimes I'm not the best when it comes to pronouncing things, but I try. You know?
I do the same thing.
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed your book. As I said, I'm going to get a copy to my friend Lisa, because I know she's really going to enjoy the stories about the area, and she's a really good cook too, so she's really going to enjoy preparing those recipes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mary Doherty, who is the author of Life in a Northern Town, Cooking, Eating, and Other Adventures Along Lake Superior, published by Wisconsin Historical Society Press. I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. And just ahead, tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll talk about soil, veggies, and composting. So I hope you stay with us for that as well. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.